Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Logan Mankins, I detect just a, you know, I don't want to say he's disingenuous, but when Mr. Kraft went on WEEI on Monday, yesterday, talked to Dalen Holly during Patriots Monday, and basically give his side of the story to the whole LaFleur Mankins. Over the, you know, whether or not he actually had a deal in place and then backed out of it because he didn't want to issue a public apology. You know, first of all, there had to be more to the story. I talked a little about this last week. I tweeted this last week as well, just because there were Adam Schefter had come out with a story that, they had a deal in place, but then he balked on signing the deal because he wouldn't go public with his apology. First of all, if that actually was the case, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. The man stands to make $50 to $70 million over the life of a contract. He's not going to just absolutely piss that away simply because he's not going to want to give an apology. That's dumb. I think most everybody realizes that if you're taking care of yourself and your family and trying to set yourself up for life or whatever it may be, you're willing to do a lot of different things for that. And if the owner wants an apology and he feels like he was wronged, you're going to give the apology. It's that simple. Simply put, Mr. Kraft said it was not that way, that there was no deal in place, basically that it was too bad that he didn't go public with his apology because that it might help him in the court of public perception here. If people realized he was trying to make good, that he was just speaking in the heat of the moment early this summer when he was upset over the lack of negotiation on a new deal. First of all, he's got a year left on his deal. I mean, the Jets. And that's an entirely different subject that we'll get into. The Jets caved to Darrell Revis. Okay, there's no other way to put it. They caved to the guy. He had, what, 2 years left on his deal? He's already intimated that when he gets down to 3 years left on his deal, he's going to hold out again. Dude, just go away. If I'm the owner, if I'm the coach, and you got a contract, and we negotiated in good faith, that means you're not negotiating in good faith. That means you're disingenuous, and I want nothing to do with you. The Jets get exactly what they deserve if Darrell Revis is really like that. And the Patriots, I have a feeling, had they had Darrell Revis in that spot, they'd have done likewise. Look at what they did with Asante Samuel. Now, again, Samuel was free, but at the same time, they did not capitulate. They didn't think he was worth what he was looking for. Asante, if you can get a deal somewhere else, go get it. And he did. And he's in Philadelphia. Fine. You know, whether or not you agree or disagree with that, fact is the Patriots were ready to part company. That's the one thing that I've always liked about this franchise is they've stood for something that, you know, for better or for worse, we're sticking with our decision. You don't like it, hit the highway. It's our way or the highway. And when it comes to this whole Logan Mankins issue, I can appreciate his old school way of thinking that your word is your bond. And, you know, if you're a man, you know, you give your word, you're supposed to hold your end of the bargain. And I appreciate all that. Look, I'm as old school as the next guy. I'm glad he was brought up that way. But this is the 21st century. Business is different these days. In case you haven't noticed that, Logan, and I'm speaking to you directly, not that he'd be listening to this show, but business is done differently now. And I've spoken to Logan. We've had him on this show, and he's appeared on Patriots Friday when I've hosted. And, you know, he's a good guy. He's a good old country boy. He's a hell of a football player. He is a Pro Bowler in every sense of the word. And the Patriots apparently were ready to make him a Pro Bowl offer. But this whole issue over going public or not going public with the apology, that just cost him millions of dollars. And that's just dumb. You have to understand it from the team's point of view. They hold all the cards here. See, Logan's not an unrestricted free agent. He's restricted. And there's some issues to how many more years he's going to have left. And if he doesn't show up before week 10, this year goes as a zilch. It doesn't count. And so he's back at square one. It's as if 2010 never existed for Logan Mankins. Logan, that's just not smart, fella. Suck it up, swallow your pride, play for what you're supposed to play for. Come in and kick some ass, and then you hold their feet to the fire. And then, if they don't capitulate to your demands, then you're an unrestricted free agent, and you can go sell yourself to the highest bidder. You hold the marbles. And if the Patriots don't like you enough, believe me, if you come in and do what you're supposed to do, there'll be plenty of teams out there that will like you. Logan's the kind of guy, you know, being, you know, Fresno State and all, I'm sure he would much sooner, you know, I'm sure he would much rather be out on the West Coast. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Probably wants to go be a 49er. Maybe even an Oakland Raider. I don't know who the hell would really want to go there, but maybe, because it's closer to home. Right? Makes sense to me. If you could give Logan Mankins one piece of advice, and I've already given him several, but if you could give Logan Mankins one piece of advice today, as of right now, as of 2:30 Eastern time, on Tuesday, September the 14th, if you could give him one piece of advice, what would you tell him? And why? What trumps all others? What does he need to do in your estimation to make this work? Patriots still have a need for him. Although, I will tell you, one of the nitpicks I don't have about Sunday's performance is the way the offensive line played. Logan, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. You might get cut loose. And then what kind of a bargaining chip do you have? You going to command a Pro Bowl salary? Doubtful. If the Patriots cut you loose. You just cost yourself some money, dude. Costing yourself big bucks. Come in and play for your tender. You've already cost yourself where that's concerned as well. He's cost himself, what, probably a couple of million dollars where that's concerned. But come in and play for your tender. Get it done. Put it behind you. Be like, you know, Randy Moss and say, no more on the contract. I'm not talking about it until after the end of the year. That's it. I'm done. Not talking about the contract anymore. Fine. Come in and take a page out of Randy Moss's book, for God's sake. Shut up and play football. And when you shut up and you play football, then you can come in and you can holler and scream and you know, bitch and moan about, you know, what you are or are not getting paid. We all know it's a business, okay? Believe me, we've heard it until we're all sick of it. You know, the money that professional athletes get paid today is obscene anyway. It's been obscene for probably close to two decades. Maybe even a little over two decades now. Obscene. You know, and we still have 10% unemployment in this country. And these guys are all worried about, you know, your word is your bond. Come on. Come on. You're not winning the PR battle in this one. You operate in a different plane, a different world, a different planet than the rest of us mere mortals who are all basically slamming it out paycheck to paycheck. Or in my case, show to show. It's just the way it is. Just shut up and play football. I think people would realize, you know what? Okay. He's going to do that. That's great. We'll get behind him, try to have some success this season. When the year is over, if your play warrants it, then you know what? Then you got to hold their feet to the fire. That's what you do. That's what you do. Your actions are your leverage. Your play should do the talking. What are your thoughts? Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. is the telephone number. The phone is working today, Kevin? The phone working? Yeah, the phone's working. Internet is still down. Oh, geez. Are you serious? Looks like my email just went on the fritz. Oh, God almighty. Does anybody really want to sit here and listen to me talk to myself for the next hour and a half?
I do, John.
Thanks, Kev. You want to get on the phone and see if anybody's doing anything about this?
Yeah, no, I'll work. Chris just came down and went back up to get on the horn.
It really doesn't seem like we can do much of a show today without emails.
So we can't even get...
Nope.
No.
Just went, but it was here. Now it just went away.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay.
I'm working on the commercials part, though.
Oh, that's good. Do we have commercials we can play now, too?
What'd you say?
Do we have commercials we can play now, too?
We do in, like, 30 seconds.
30 seconds, okay. Now, this is my version of a 30-second soft shoe. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Wow. All right, I opened up the show to tell you today that I wish I knew what was going on, but it kind of all started on Sunday when we didn't have speakers on the west side of the stadium, and it's kind of gotten progressively worse over the last 48 hours. Not gotten better, it's gotten worse. So hopefully just bear with us here, and we'll figure out a way to get email and or the internet back here, and we can converse. In the meantime, the phone is working. 508-543-7482. That's how you get us on the show. We do know that the audio part of the show was not only making it sound like a little like chipmunks today, but also was somewhat overmodulated. And again, they're all working on these details as we speak. So hopefully that will be something that can correct itself very, very shortly. It may be just a simple reboot of the entire system here, Kev. I'm not entirely certain, but perhaps maybe somebody can provide us some direction. I mean, they did, after all, come in and try to basically change everything around on you during the middle of the show.
Yeah, we had an interesting makeover.
And now that we actually need them, they're nowhere to be found.
That sounds about right.
Okay. And if they're listening and they're like, well, what the hell are we getting killed for? It's because the job isn't getting done. That's why. We're here doing ours. Where's everybody else? 508-543-7482. We think webradio@patriots.com. We're back in a bit inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America, N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
John Rook back inside the playbook for a Tuesday here on Patriots.com radio. We're going to press on and see if we can't make chicken salad out of chicken feathers today. All right? Yeah, see, Kevin says, yeah, that's right. That's what we're going to do. I'd be happy to say, you know, the web radio at Patriots.com email address, but there's no guarantee I'm going to get it today because the email is just shut down now as well. So I'll let you know when it's back up. Hopefully I'll be able to get to them. In the meantime, the telephone, good old-fashioned way. Yes. Oh, are you serious? The phone is dead too now?
No, I don't think that was the phone being dead. I think there he might have got disconnected or something. I think that's what it was.
We can't make this stuff up. Let's see. I got.
We're having good luck today.
This is just brilliant. Let's see. I've got. You know what? I blame myself.
Don't blame me.
No, I blame myself because I always print my sheets up. I back it up, and I'm thinking, you know what? No. I know exactly where it is located. I had it all bookmarked on the internet. I know exactly where I need to go because these are all stories that I want to talk about today. So I blame myself. This is what I get. I deserve this. This is what I get when I don't print stuff out. I mean, so I, you know, tried to save a couple of trees today is really what I did.
We got Dagmar back. Let's try him.
Dagmar in Miami. Dagmar, how are you, buddy?
Good, good, buddy. I have to call a couple of times, man. Seems like you guys are having some technical issues over there, right?
At least this works.
Yeah, well, apparently this works. So appreciate the phone call, man. What's going on?
Everything's been good. Everything's been good. I mean, not a bad start for the season, don't you think?
Yeah, you know.
The game on Sunday. We had obviously some points that we can, you know, talk about, but let's take it as a win and let's move on. But in reference to your questions about how much do we love Randy and what will be our, let's say, our comments about Mankins and,
right,
you know, whatever about the Patriots right now, I would say definitely we'd love to see Randy stay with the Patriots. In terms of numbers, he has demonstrated that he's still playing at a high level and still playing this league for a couple of years more.
Right.
It's just a matter about what price are we willing to pay for it, because it's a matter of priority, and he's not the only player on the roster right now that is on the last year of the contract.
Right.
And I know he's looking forward to getting his own money and earn for whatever results he's got on the field. But at the same time, the project includes the entire team. It means tackles, it means receivers, it means linebackers, it means the quarterback that just got paid the money that was owed to him from a couple of years ago when he decided not to take the money that he was able to ask for just to be able, you know, to have the team be able to gather some better talent to to be able to compete. And we saw, everybody saw what happened last time that happened.
Let me ask you something. What do you think Randy Moss is worth? And how many years would you sign him for?
I think 2 years with an option of a third is a good. I mean, you can also make the case for 3 years and an optional fourth year. In terms of the money, I am not that familiar with what are the rates. I mean, let's put the standard on Fitzgerald. I don't even remember what the Fitzgerald contract actually pays for, and I actually don't like to talk about the money that somebody may be, you know, or may have the right to ask for, you know, in terms of for whatever, you know, work that person does, because I think everybody may, you know, he's entitled to ask for the money things he's able to get paid.
Well, you understand, though. You understand.
Yeah, I understand the question.
I mean, his production really hasn't dropped, and you know, since he's been here. So in that regard, you know, he's going to be looking for 3 years. My guess would be, you know, by the time, you know, if he gets a 3-year deal, he'd be playing here at age 37. That's pretty old for a wide receiver, unless of course your name happens to be Jerry Rice. So the question.
Yeah.
The question becomes, do we pay him similarly to the way a guy like Rice was paid, perhaps, I guess, when his career was winding up?
Let's say I will give him a salary that is included in the top five receivers. And the difference between whatever he's going to be able to achieve from that other four receiver in that group of five would be that he will be able to play with a team that I bet you none of the other four receivers is able to play with.
Well, so you're saying,
give and take, yeah.
You're saying that, Dagmar, though, that he's worth the average of the top five receivers?
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
definitely.
Now, okay, keep in mind now that, you know, the top receivers in the game all make, you know, eight-figure salaries. You know, so, do you really believe Randy Moss, even at age 33, 34, is still worth that?
Well, if you look at the numbers, definitely, and that is his point. And if he wants to make a case for it, then I don't think we're going to have him any other year after this one. So it's just a matter of, you know, the man has his point and he's got numbers to back him up in terms of trying to convince him in that salary to actually stay and not take probably a little more than any other team for a longer term or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It would be like, hey, look, listen, you won't be the, you know, highest paid receiver, but I guarantee you none of the guys that are on top of you in terms of salary will be able to, you know, compete every year or gather a team as good as the one that you're playing right now for. You know, that would be that, if that comes to that point, then the ball will be on his side, you know?
All right, that's fine. I'm following you. Now, what do you think about Mankins? If you could tell him, if you could give him a piece of advice, what would you tell Logan?
A public apology doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, if you just don't want to look like, oh, I have to give my arm, you know, I have to, you know, hey, okay, I said something, you know, and then you don't want to regret it, or you just want to regret it on a personal point, or a personal, to what it is, Mr. Kraft and him personal relationship, that's okay, but listen, if things are going to work only if you are able or not to apologize to the public, and you're going to get paid, you're going to still play for this good team. Bro, my advice, just apologize and don't make a big deal about it, because none of those guys that are riding out there are making a point for you, or they're not going to pay you, and he's not going to get the money that he thinks he's worth right now if he holds for an entire year, because nobody's going to pay that money for him.
Yeah. No, I kind of tend to agree, Dagmar. You want to give me an early thought on the Jets game this Sunday?
Hey, I think there's too much talking on that Jets team, too much things going on around. And let's not talk about the Jets. Let's say I like the Patriots. I want to see them coming up strong of the game, and I think we have a pretty good shot at this game, even though it's in the Meadowlands, and I know the Jets' defense are good, and they hold the Ravens for only, you know, few points, but guess what? I don't see their offense, which is supposed to be the one that just got improved so much by the addition of the running backs and the wide receivers. If they don't play, how are they going to score points? Because their defense, yeah, they can stop anybody. But if they cannot score, you know what? I give a chance to my offense on the field, and I guarantee you that we're going to score more points. And that's what the game is all about. Score more points than the other team, and you win. And that's it.
Right. All right. Good stuff, Dagmar. Hey, thanks for giving the call.
Nice to talk to you, and I'll call any other time, okay?
You got it, buddy. All right, take care. Dagmar in Miami. One of our faithful listeners over the last several years,
I figured out why this happened. It's because you picked the Patriots to lose on Sunday.
I did. I know.
31-30. It stuck in my craw a little bit.
I picked 31-30.
Yeah.
I did.
And ever since then, the world has just gone to...
You realize, of course, though, that, you know, had we not had the pick six by Guyton...
That's true.
Had we not had Brandon Tate...
Absolutely.
Okay, it was a 24-24 game, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if my aunt had ball, she'd be my uncle.
Okay. Very good.
Hey, we got to have
some. You were
waiting
for that one all day.
We're flying blind, you know.
Yeah, I know. Realistically. I did try rebooting a computer, but you'll have to log me back in here.
Yeah,
so.
I'll do that.
Okay. It is what it is. We've heard that a lot, too, I think, over the course of the last few weeks or so. All right, so here's the deal. Just to sort of kind of recap and get the thought process going here. Moss, in my estimation, deserves to come back. I think if he wants a 3-year deal, I see no reason why at this stage of the game the Patriots shouldn't at least consider giving him a 3-year deal based on what we've seen over the previous 4 years. He's the kind of guy that I think we can all agree that, you know, based on these last 4 years, what we've seen, he's going to work hard. Yeah, he's a consummate professional. He doesn't really take things and plays off like I think he's been accused of in the past. Maybe he does kind of, you know, sulk a little bit from time to time, but you know what? Who doesn't? You do. I do. We all do. Everybody sulks when things don't quite go their way, like right now, Kevin sulking because the computer's just not cooperating with him. You know, who knows what the IT guys are doing around here, but, you know, we're trying to do radio around here and it ain't working. So what can I tell you? So Kevin has a right to sulk right now. He's brand new on the job. It's just his, what, third week really producing shows here.
Something like that.
Yeah, and you know, he's already, you know, getting hammered left and right.
It's unfortunate. I feel like I want to get hammered right now. That's the thing. Might have to fix that later on.
You're still young. You can do that.
Straight to the waistline, though.
Straight
John.
To the, yeah, well.
I'm telling you.
That's why you got to learn to start drinking martinis, brother.
Start drinking martinis and eating salad.
Well, there you go. That pretty much take care of it. Then you can drink and, you know, the beer is what does it to the waistline. I mean, I love a good beer like anybody else. But
stick to the light beer.
Yeah, well, I do
even
that too.
Then,
I do that
then,
too. But
yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's all those carbs.
I know. That's what I'm saying, brothers. That's why I'm thinking, you know, nice dry martini. That works. Just, you know, wave the bottle of vermouth by it. All right, so at any rate, here's the deal on Moss. Again, I think he, right now, you know, if the Patriots really wanted to do the right thing, if the Patriots really wanted to shut him up, if the Patriots really wanted to get him in their corner, let's go ahead and see would he go for 3 years and $9 million? You know, he might not, considering that, you know, this is an uncapped year. Next year, we're still not sure whether or not we're even going to have football. Maybe the Patriots won't because they're unsure about next year. I can understand that, too. There's a lot of uncertainties. You know, and, you know, the people that you are willing to re-sign, namely Tom Brady, I mean, well, that's Tom Brady we're talking about here. It's a little different. Not quite as comparable. Not quite as comparable. As far as Mankins is concerned, though, as I mentioned earlier, Logan, you know, God love you. You're a good offensive lineman. You're a Pro Bowl guy. Seem to be a stand-up guy. You know, you should just, you know, make peace. Come get your paycheck. Come play football. Because you're not winning any public relations battle here. And maybe that doesn't matter to you. Obviously it doesn't. Otherwise, I think maybe you or your agent would have taken a different tact here. But this is not the correct PR way to go. And I've done public relations for governors, you know, for Senate candidates, for other athletes and coaches. This is not how I would advise you to act. It's just the way it is. So your agent is giving you bad advice, pal. You need to come play football. You need to keep your mouth shut. You need to move on. Come play for your tender. Come kick some serious tail. Then sign again. And if the Patriots don't sign you, so be it. Move on. You're a West Coast guy anyway. Maybe you can cut yourself a better deal in the Bay Area. But this is not the way to go. You won't win this battle. Not against Robert Kraft. Not against the Patriots. You can talk bad about the Patriots all you want. You'll never win that battle. It'll only make you look bad. You'll never look good. It'll only make you look bad. So come and play. Patriots will, you know, I'm certain of it. Patriots will let bygones be bygones. That's the track record. They understand it's a business. The Crafts didn't get to be the Crafts because, you know, they spent foolishly, okay? They spend frugally for a reason. Or when it comes to football. Just come and play. If you could give Logan a little piece of advice, a little piece of your mind, if you could really tell him how you feel, what would you tell him? 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. Seems to be the only thing that's operating right now. Just kind of the way it is today. If you hadn't heard, Chris Jenkins of the Jets out for the year. Tore up his leg again. Similar to last year. You know, I watched the entire game last night, and who amongst us who would consider themselves, you know, either a Patriots fan or supporter didn't get a nice little chuckle out of that 10-9 result to the Ravens? The Jets set, you know, some records of futility on offense, you know, for first downs, for passing yards. You know, they just – it was pretty anemic. I'm not so sure that I'm willing to lay the entire blame on Mark Sanchez. Probably have to give some of the blame to the offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. The fact is that you've got LaDainian Tomlinson, who got quite a bit of run last night, and Tomlinson was basically, you know, thrown out on the scrap heap by the San Diego Chargers in the offseason. I think he's still a serviceable back, but an every down guy, probably not. Not any longer. There was a part of me that, you know, was, I mean, because of the whole bluster of the Hard Knocks series on HBO, I'm sure most Patriots fans got a nice kick out of watching the Jets go down in flames last night. There's also a part of me, though, that when it comes to playing the Patriots or when it comes to playing your own favorite football team, I have to admit, I like to see teams come in at strength. I mean, I like to see teams, you know, come in with guns blazing and ready to roll because I want their best shot. Because then when you win, it means more, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that what your coaches have always told you if you were an athlete, if you played? It's what I've always told my kids. You want a team's best shot. I've always believed that. Now, you're not going to take a gift like this and give it back. The Jets, you know, were a pretty decent run defense team last year without Jenkins for most of the year. They did get into the playoffs, and they did advance further than the Patriots last year, even though the Patriots won the division. So my guess is that the Jets will figure out a way to adapt. They did last year. There are already rumors running rampant throughout the blogosphere today. About, you know, because the Washington Redskins, you know, I guess are still largely unhappy with Albert Haynesworth, that maybe the Redskins and the Jets could work out a deal and send Haynesworth to the Jets. If something like that were to happen, well, then, you know, okay, I welcome it personally. Bring him on. I just want to make sure that if I'm a competitor, I want a team's best shot so that doesn't leave any doubt. But you're not, like I said, you're not going to look to give horse in the mouth either. Clearly the Jets have issues on offense. Defensively, they're still more than formidable. And it's just going to come down to a simple matter of matching up the Patriots' offense against that formidable Jets defense, even without Chris Jenkins, and whether or not the Patriots can put points on the board.
And it poses an interesting question, too, John. Is the Jets defense a more dominant defense than the Patriot offense is an offense? That's kind of what it shakes down to.
That is exactly what it'll break down to. You know, and I hope that over the course of the week, you know, as we talk to...
I can't wait to get your prediction on Thursday, though.
Well,
I
got to let this week play out.
Oh, no, we do.
You know, we'll have hopefully some writers to talk to tomorrow, broadcasters. We'll have Russell to talk to on Thursday.
Tomorrow will be a new day.
Yeah. You're planning on it already?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be here all night if that's what it takes to fix this. Because this isn't happening again.
This is just kind of one of those days. It's kind of like a little like Friday the 13th around here, isn't it?
It is.
I know. But, you know, but the Patriots won a football game on Sunday.
It's
so
true.
That's the good thing.
It is the good thing.
All right, so we have Nick Cassero from earlier, correct?
Yeah, that's the transcript there. We're getting a little creative here, but it's kind of like you said, when life deals you lemons, you try to do the best you can to make lemonade.
You try to make lemonade.
In today's case, though, I'd like to add a little bit of vodka to that lemonade, maybe, perhaps.
I think we probably need to. See, one of the things that you do on Tuesdays is that it's a league-wide rule now around the NFL that usually on Tuesdays your primary coaches, technically your offensive and defensive coordinators, are made available to the media. And because the Patriots don't have any of the aforementioned coordinators, and I put quotation marks around that word, then Nick Cassero, who is the director of player personnel, and obviously he's a former offensive coach as well for the Patriots. He sort of takes the now offensive coordinator interview slot on Tuesdays. And as far as the defensive coordinator is concerned, the Patriots, again, don't really have one of those either. Corwin Brown, who's a former Patriots defensive back, coaches the Patriots defensive backs. And he's involved in some of the play choices and calling. And Corwin Brown took the role of defensive coordinator interview with members of the media earlier today here at the stadium as well. So at some point, we hope that we'll be able to have one or both of those particular interviews. Patriots obviously did make some moves over the course of the last 24 to 48 hours. Marcus Morrell was let go. The reason that Marcus Morrell was let go. Well, should we just take a break then? Because this is going to be a little difficult to do, I think. Let's take a timeout here. And then once we take the break, then hopefully we'll be able to come back and either get with the internet or the email or some form or fashion. We'll be able to, you know, conduct a program here. 508-543-7482. That's our telephone number. Hour number two inside the playbook. Straight ahead.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school.
so I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Well, we're just plugging along here on Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday. I'm John Rook. You see, internet's still down. Sorry. Wish I could fix it for you. If I could snap my fingers, I would. But it's obviously a deeper issue than that. 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. That is working and has been, so we can go that route if you like. Part of what I guess we want to try to get into as well today has to do with, you know, the rivalry, I think, with the Jets. I mean, I'm sure these are things that we'll probably jump into a little bit more in depth over the course of the next 2 days. What do we need? You want to try that? Okay. Sorry, we're a work in progress here, so we'll just, you know, hey, this it
it's
is what
like,
it is.
It's kind of like PFW in progress, right?
This would be playbook in progress,
yes,
I
guess,
pretty much, huh? I guess part of the issues then with the rivalry with the Jets have to do with because Patriots fans as a whole just don't like New York, and I know the feeling is mutual, vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, it goes the other way around. How much, though, do you let your disdain for the Jets overcome the fact that, you know, first of all, there was a reason for HBO being at training camp and taping the whole Hard Knocks thing because they thought the Jets, number one, A, were an up-and-coming team, good enough to be represented, you know, on the program. And plus, oh, yeah, they happen to have the personalities involved, namely a guy like Rex Ryan, who obviously was a walking, you know, talking, cursing quote every time he opens his mouth.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Yeah.
That was just for you, by the way.
Thank you. We don't have to bleep that out?
That was by it's web radio. You can do whatever you want.
No.
But that was just by your request, though.
Thank you very much.
Just so you know.
You did get the.
So I am thinking of y'all.
Well, that's one of the all. That's going to be one of the all-time best drops, I think. One of the all-time best one-liners, maybe in NFL audio history.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yet, see, the thing you had to bleep was what he said right before that.
Yeah.
So I had to be careful.
Well, that's true, too.
I was snipping. Doing the little snip, snip.
Well, I'm see, then you're doing your job. You're doing your job. You know, that's all good. But I just think that we sort of tend to, you know, all the Patriots will win because it's just the Jets. And yet again, you know, first of all, I watched that game last night, you know, the entire thing, and I did see some problems I thought that Baltimore had offensively. But Baltimore is every bit as good, obviously a little bit better maybe defensively than the Jets. But the Jets played good enough defense to be able – you know, to keep Baltimore in check most of the game as well. I mean, I thought that the Ravens were actually kind of fortunate to win that game last night. I guess the point that I'm getting at here is that the Jets need to be respected to an extent, much as I hate to admit it, much as I reveled in the fact that they lost last night. But the fact remains is that they're formidable. Fact remains is that you got to play them twice. They're a division opponent. And if you can get a road win, I mean, it's magnified that much more in the one-loss column because you like to think you have at least a better-than-even chance to win when you get them at home later in the year. All right, we'll jump into more of the Jet stuff, I think, as we unfold with the game plans over the course of the next couple of days. But I did want to make that point just because the Jets, you know, they're kind of getting into some issues, some unfortunate, you know, personnel issues with the news about Chris Jenkins today being gone. I'm sure that they're probably licking their wounds, but, you know, the other issue that I wanted to cover where that's concerned is just be wary of the wounded dog. Because when you think you got a team down, when you think you have a team beaten, that's when that wounded dog comes back to bite you, right in the you-know-what. The Jets weren't a bad team, as I suggested earlier, when they lost Chris Jenkins last year. They became actually a pretty good run defensive team. And I would think the same would remain for this year as well. Looks like you just got internet back, Kev.
Yeah, we have some a developing story here.
Fire away.
The Packers find young running back Ryan Grant.
Well, I heard that one. I just saw that one on the crawl on NFL Network.
Yeah, it says he may be out for the season with a torn ligament in his ankle.
Wow. All right, so between Jenkins and Grant, those are two significant.
It says he'll be on crutches for possibly up to 12 weeks.
Well, those are two significant injuries through week one. You know, and I was just about to make the remark as well. And in fact, this is what I was thinking of this morning. My initial thought this morning was is that, wow, it seems like most everybody made it through week one relatively unscathed. Last couple of years, haven't we had just a plethora of big-name, big-time injuries where it really hurt some teams? Obviously, the Patriots were part of that year before last. It seems like the last couple of years, though, that has been something that has really hurt some teams. And I was thinking this morning, wow, it looks like we got through the week one without any major, you know, stars, and again, quotes around the word stars, any major personalities being hurt. And then, of course, then this afternoon, as everything unfolds, we get the story on Grant, as Kevin just told you, for the Packers, and obviously Chris Jenkins for the Jets, gone for the year. Those are two big injuries. Now, we made this argument a little bit last week. I know that the PFW guys talked about it during preseason. You know, and there's some issue that, you know, when you get when the new collective bargaining agreement is negotiated on between the owners and players, that we may finally go to an 18-game regular season as opposed to the 16 games played now and maybe only have a 2-week preseason. And if that is the case, part of the thing that a lot of the folks that oppose the 18-game regular season is that, well, there's more regular season games, means that's more of a chance to get hurt. And I would say, well, not really, because as long as you're out there playing, whether it's preseason or regular season, there's still a chance to get hurt. Do you play as much in the preseason? If you're a starter, if you're regular, no, probably not. But you're still out there in the field. I would say that the protection factor is minuscule. Bottom line is that you as a fan, you pay the freight. And the fans have said time and time again that they want to see meaningful football. You want to see meaningful football, right? Of course you do. Well, you want to see meaningful football. You're obviously still willing to pay for it. There's still a 50,000-person waiting list for season tickets here at Gillette. So, therefore, the 18-game regular season, if it's voted upon, and I do expect it to be ratified, I do expect it in some form or fashion, yes, I think we'll be moving now. I don't know if it'll be as soon as next year, but we will be moving to an 18-game regular season schedule probably certainly within the next 2 years. And when that is done, it's something that you wanted. Will that increase the chances, though, for more superstars to be hurt and to be knocked out of the box early? I guess it could. I don't really think appreciably it will. But it is going to test teams' depth, which is why another move I think you'll see is the expansion of the rosters from the 45 active and the 8 practice squad, total of 53. You might see 53 active and then another 5, 6, 7 or so. I think you'll see more jobs, and I think all in all, that is a concession to the players. That'll be a good thing for the owners to do. They're going to get what they want, more meaningful games. You're going to get what you want, more meaningful games. The players are going to get part of what they want, which is more guys with jobs. Sounds to me like that works all the way around. All right, while my computer is still on the fritz, apparently Kevin's is now up and operating a
little
bit.
Working hard. Working hard for the listeners.
So what I've been able to do here is we've been able to actually download some of your emails that you've already brought in before our computer, you know, basically hit the bed. So I'm going to share some emails with you. You're going to print them out, and we're just going to go the old-fashioned way. And, you know, if you're a tree hugger, I'm sorry, but looks like we're going to kill a tree or two today. We got to print pages in order to share the
On the plus
emails.
Side, there are plenty of people listening because we're getting plenty of emails. Keep them rolling in at webradio@patriots.com.
Thank you very much. All right, so now that we're getting emails, keep them coming. Here's a nitpick from Chris in Seattle, being Nitpick Tuesday. And I didn't really have a chance to get into nitpicks. That was on my list of things to do as we're dancing around here with the computer issues. But we're slowly...
Hey, we're crawling we're, back.
We're slowly making progress.
We're making plays here.
We're seeing the rebirth of not only a radio program here, but a rebirth of Patriots.com radio from the ashes. It's like a phoenix rising in the distance, you know?
Very good, John.
Okay, well, you know, hey.
Hey, we're a team here. We're in this together. It's just you and me. There's nobody else helping us.
Life gives you lemons. What'd you say earlier?
Add vodka.
Okay. Lice. I like that. That's a subscription.
I just drink to get drunk.
Thank you, Eddie Mack. There's nobody better than Eddie McNamara, by the way. He has been a member of the audio team here with the New England Patriots for almost 40 years, dating way back to, obviously, the old days at Foxborough, but they've kept him on here at Gillette Stadium. Eddie Mack is good people. All right, Chris in Seattle says, nitpick, Brady's short timing passes seemed off target, especially to Falk. The rest of his game looked great, and the O-line made his life easier, but I think some of the short plays could use more reps. Chris also said, looked pretty good all around to me, but since you ask, okay, yeah, okay. He says, with Moss, I do not take issue with Moss's overall rant. I think he's done great things for us with Brady and Castle at quarterback and will continue to perform for another 3 years. I would extend his contract. I won't talk money because that part is beyond me, but a handsome deal seems appropriate to me. As far as him being a problem, I really don't see it, especially seeing him in the locker room leading Brewski's How Do We Feel team cheer. I told you to go online and see that, right, by the way? I mentioned that. You go on Patriots.com.
For Andy Moss?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get that for the listeners even here.
You going to try it?
That would be fantastic.
Well, see just if you can find it.
Give me 30 seconds.
All right, you got it. And if you haven't had a chance to go elsewhere here on the website, it was a Patriots Today clip. It was the post-game locker room after the win over the Bengals on Sunday. See if we can get that for you. If you haven't had a chance to scoot on over to it, we'll play the audio for you. I think he's a team leader. He's professional. He's fair in his commentary, especially regarding the media. No offense. None taken, Chris. And he delivers. So he dresses funny. So what? See, Chris, see, now if I were Jim Rome, I'd probably take a look at that email and say, wreck him! Because that's spot on. That's good stuff, Chris. Thanks for sharing the email. All right, now we're up and cooking. Webradio@patriots.com here. At least, you know, Kevin can get his emails here, so fire away. 508-543-7482, the telephone number if you want to do it the old-fashioned way. We can keep doing that as well. Derek from the University of Arizona says, John, one aspect of the defense was the overall speed. I thought everyone was flying around, and I was very impressed. Chung took a huge stride, and I can only hope that progression continues. Also, we have known that this defense is getting younger. I think the speed was a result of that injection of youth. Do you agree? As a matter of fact, Derek, I do. But they've given up an experience that I think they have probably compensated for somewhat in speed. And, yes, I know there are probably some of you who are listening today are wondering if I'm ready to do my mea culpa on Darius Butler because I hammered him last week. And I thought rightfully so, based on his play in the preseason. And I didn't think he was ready to be a prime-time player, or at least a starter for the Patriots. But with Lee Bodden out for the year, then, you know, hey, the Patriots really don't have anybody else to put in there. And I had a couple of people Facebook me earlier this week as well about, hey, what did you think of Darius Butler, yada, yada, because you were killing him last week on the radio. And I just said, well, you know what? It's one game, okay? It's one game. See, this is part of the problem that we have here. We get all caught up in one game fever. There are 15 more to play. he made some good plays. Chad Ochocinco also had double figures in catch and triple figures in yards receiving. So let's, I mean, again, yes, the Patriots won the game. But let's just say he's a work in progress. He did make a couple of good breaks on the ball. He did recover well in a couple of instances. I will give him a B. And I think I'm being generous. But I'll give him a grade of B for Cincinnati. What do you think? Is that fair, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those balls, the PFW guys were touching upon it, and a lot of those balls to Chad were pretty good throws by Carson Palmer because the coverage wasn't all that bad. It's not like he had, you know, a
Palmer's
ton of
separation. Not a lousy quarterback.
No,
okay?
But he was
you had two Pro Bowl caliber receivers going against two, you know, basically rookie corners.
Like we touched on last week, and we decided it would be this huge test for them, and I don't think you can come out of Sunday's game saying that they passed with flying colors or anything like that, but I don't think you can give him an F either. So
no, I wouldn't give him. No, he passed.
I think he's even being generous, like you said.
You know, I think you know I probably should give him a C, but yeah. I'm going to be generous
and give him a B.
Him.
But I mean, to touch on what the PFW guys were saying, a lot of those footballs were fit into tight windows where only Chad could get them, and he has such athleticism and such a great pair of hands, he'd just go up and snatch it away from him. And then immediately, you didn't see a whole lot of yards after the catch. I didn't see him running around.
No, it
like
wasn't
crazy.
A ton of yak, and I think that's another thing that you can give a lot of credit to. By the way, I think we're seeing the emergence as well, and this isn't a nitpick, but I think we're seeing the emergence as well of a pretty fine safety in Patrick Chung. You know, he only leads the NFL in tackles after week one.
Bill acknowledged that yesterday, that he did a good job in a lot of different areas.
Chung looks like he's ready to move in and be a primetime player.
He also sung the praises of James Sanders as well.
Well, you know what? I've always thought Sanders was a good player, that Sanders needed a chance. But last year, when Chung sort of stepped in for him, it's when Sanders was hurt. And then Sanders didn't get his spot back. You know, and I've always been one of, you know, hey, it's your job until you give it up on the field, including injury.
Yeah.
But the Patriots really don't operate like that. So, okay, if that's the way they operate, hey, their team, that's what they do. Sanders is going to have to earn his way back. Injuries notwithstanding, Sanders does play well. And I really think the Patriots, when they go to a big nickel, they go to five DBs, you'll see more and more of, you know, the safety being used as opposed to putting in another cornerback.
Yeah. Especially once McGowan went down, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Sanders becomes a pretty important.
Sanders is very important.
Because Brandon McGowan, the greatest value he had to the team, in my opinion. People view him as this kind of – he was a big-hitting safety that would come up and stuff the run, and that was kind of glamorous in some areas. But a lot of the times when he gets his hands on somebody, it's 5 to 8 yards down the field. In my mind, his value came with in pass defense covering the other team's tight end.
Right.
That's, in my mind, where he had the greatest value to this football team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you're going to see James Sanders try to step in and fill those shoes. Now, Gresham did beat him. A couple of times.
Yeah, I did.
And he had a touchdown against him.
But Jermaine Gresham is also a very good player.
We can't forget that.
Yeah, I know. Scribbers will be happy to hear me say that since he went to OU.
But we do have a treat for our listeners here. We have that little locker
good.
Room.
All right, hold on a second here because I'm going to lead into that with this. Derek finished his email up by saying, all right, he says, the camaraderie of the team seemed to be great. They seem to be playing well, communicating, and having fun. That's what I love to see after a season like last year. After a year where communication was an issue and locker room chemistry was called into question by some people, the sight of everyone talking and moving around was great to see. I believe it was one of the under-the-radar storylines for last week. This is part of what Derek is referring to. If you haven't had a chance to see it here on Patriots.com, this is a lot in the aftermath of the locker room after the win against Cincinnati on Sunday.
Nice work, fellas. Nice work. That's a way to come out and be ready to go. Two returns for touchdowns. That's a hell of a start right there. That's a hell of a start. You got a lot of work to do. All right, but it's great to get this one. Get some pictures up on the wall.
Yeah.
It's a way to come out with some energy. That's a way to play your ass off and set the tempo on the game. It's a real good job all the way. Stick together, fellas. Keep working hard. We're on the right track. All right? Let's go. Hey, everybody in there, coaches included. That's good when we all do it on the same rhythm. One clap. One clap. One clap. Sound good.
Let's go. But how do we feel about getting our first victory of the season?
So, doesn't that get you fired up? That's, you know, let's just.
Sure does. There ain't nothing better than that.
That just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. That's good. That's good. And obviously, Bill, you heard Coach Belichick in there. You know, he, for all of his monotone press conferences and saying, you know, words coming out of my mouth, but, you know, you're not really understanding what he's saying. I mean, he used the A word.
Yeah. And since we're on web radio, we can just let it roll here. Uncensored here. Not quite to the HBO standard.
He was showing emotion. So, I mean, for those of you that think he's a robot, wrong. He's just as emotional as those guys. And, of course, leading the chant was the one and only Randy Moss.
Before he went on
just,
his rant.
Just minutes before he went on his rant to the media. That's what he did in the locker room.
Probably took a little shower after that, gathered his thoughts, and then came out and gave us a 14-minute speech.
And said, now it's time to go make my money. Straight cash, homie. Caught you on that one, didn't I?
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's this. See this cord here? You see this cord? It feels like I'm on a leash. If you watch my head go,
but you
when
are.
When I try to go over to the replay machine,
you are on a leash.
I'm caught.
You are on a leash. It's called the New England Patriots.
It's tough. Get the choke collar around.
We got you here, buddy. You're in. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff indeed. Let's keep the emails rolling here. This one comes from Gene in Daytona Beach. I believe Moss should be taken care of before Mankins because he is here and playing. Mankins is somewhere but not doing anything on the field to help this team. I also believe that the other people on the team who are not squeaking should be taken care of before Moss. If the Patriots do anything else, I will only think less of the Kraft organization. The reason you and the PFW guys can speak your mind is because they have never been afraid of the truth. Kevin, keep up the good work. You're fitting in just great. John, love the show. All right, Kevin, you got a little shout out there from Gene at Daytona Beach.
On a day where I've been getting yelled at by everybody, that feels good. I appreciate it, John.
There you go. All right. So that's all good. Thank you, Gene, for the comments. John sends this up. And I asked again, one of my questions of the day is, if you had a piece of advice for Logan Mankins, what would it be? Yeah. Well, I think we all realize what we'd like to say, but you know, we try to keep it somewhat family friendly around here. Anyway, John says, number one, fire your agent. Number two, shut your mouth. Number three, just play. I'd say that pretty much says it all. Be quite honest with you, and I happen to agree with you, John. That was my whole point for bringing it out. If you have, you know, a word of advice, thank you very much. Looks like the computer is alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's working. Awesome. All right, keep the emails coming. Webradio@patriots.com. That's why we asked the question. If you had, you know, a word of advice to give to Logan Mankins, what would it be? Kevin is high-fiving himself on the other side of the glass here because he's been able to get, you know, he's been able to get everything done. So, and the best part about this is we did this on the fly while we were in mid-production.
We did, and we're bringing a little bit of sound into the show now. For, you know, that was a great little tidbit we just played on Patriots.com.
You know what? That kind of stuff, though, you know, we hadn't really been able to get access to in the past.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Patriots Today, I have to give a little bit
kudos
of a shout-out.
Yeah, Brian Lowe and Lindsay.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously in the past, Christina Acker. But, you know, Brian does a lot of the heavy work there, and, you know, he's the one in the camera, with the camera, in the locker room getting that stuff done. And so we'll probably have more of that for you here on Patriots.com. And for those that are somewhat web unsavvy, sometimes like I can be, you know, we'll be glad to play some of those clips from time to time as well here inside the playbook, and including some of the conference calls and things like that. Because as I suggested last week in our opening week of the program here, the one thing that I love about this format and this show is that we can play things unfettered. Nothing's edited here. We want you to get the full context so a player can't say, well, I was taken out of context, which is what Randy was basically complaining about after the game on Sunday. All of his stuff is taken out of context by the media. Not on this show, it's not. It never will be. It's not edited. We play it. Questions all included. All right, let's keep banging out some emails here. This one comes from Jonathan. Says, hope you get the tech problems fixed. We're still working on it, Jonathan, but I believe John in Ithaca, New York. But it looks like we're getting closer here to being back up to speed. Somebody fed the squirrels a couple of nuts, didn't they? Not saying who's nuts, but I got a couple of nuts.
It's like Fred and his nut wizard. You ever hear about Fred's nut wizard? Yeah. You ask him sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. He says, all right, here's my take on Moss. If you compare what he said to someone like Mankins, think of the different perspectives. Mankins was offered a deal, but he obviously does not want to be a Patriot. The offer was apparently generous, but Mankins has made it clear that he feels his relationship with the team is finished. Well, Mankins technically, John, was not offered the deal, and that's what Mr. Kraft said yesterday on Patriots Monday. He said that the deal was being negotiated, but there was not a finalized deal offered to Logan. Moss, on the other hand, John says, even though he probably should keep this private, has expressed that he does want to remain a Patriot. So what remains to be seen is just how much he wants to be one. Will he accept an offer that might be less money than he feels he could get elsewhere just to stay on the team? Would he put his financial opportunity below his desire to stay on the Pats? If Mr. Kraft came out and said, you know, we love Randy, we want him to be a Patriot, but this is a business, and we need to keep some cap room available for the future of the team. We can offer Randy a little less than what he's worth, but we hope he'll accept that for the good of the team and remain a Patriot. What could Moss say in response? At this point, if he declined that type of deal, he'd seem like the one at fault. His desire to remain a Patriot would come into question, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But that's part of the cat and mouse game that owners and players pay. I mean, play, rather, pay. Freudian slip. Yeah, the player's made to look like the bad guy sometimes. And that might be unfair. He does want to be a Patriot. I think he said that. But he said, well, I'm prepared to play out this year. That's the only bargaining chip he had. He wanted you as a fan to know that he wants to be here. It was probably in his best interest to say nothing. Not say how much he wants to be a Patriot. Nothing. Because now the Patriots know he wants to be here, so he's lost a little bit of his bargaining power. That's just the way the game is played. Larry says, why couldn't the Pats D stop the Bengals in the second half being up over three scores? Is it Bill's scheme or philosophy? Don't give up the big play. Or lack of less than average talent? If a combo, what predominates? Well, you know, I think, Larry, that's a good question. I was talking a little bit about that with my son, who, by the way, had a date at the game on Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Sat in our seats and, you know, trying to impress, you know, one of his high school girlfriends, and took her to the game. And get this, Kev, I actually, you know, was texting him and said, how are the seats, yada, yada, you know, because I have seats up in section 312.
Okay.
Right on the front row, though. So, you're right above the luxury box there. It's a pretty good seat on the 25-yard line.
Absolutely.
Good seat.
Any seat's a good seat in this place.
And so he's up there, and they got up there, and he says, we're in the seats. And I texted him back before, you know, we kicked off the game. And I said, you know, I've got a couple of minutes here. Do you want to bring, you know, your friend, wink, wink, you want to bring your friend down to the announce booth for a little, you know, tour and a little visit and maybe snap a little picture of the two of you, you know? Hey, just a little ammo, right, for later on. And he goes, nah. It's okay, Pops. This is what he tweeted me back. He says, I can work my own magic. Thank you.
See, just as a fan, as a young fan, I would take you up on that offer.
I thought he would, too.
But, I mean,
I got stiffed by my own son.
He probably gets, you know, you're somewhat of a celebrity around here, though.
So no.
He gets the, he gets, oh,
pish
please.
Posh.
Oh, please.
Come
on. You and your 35 years that you've been here. It grows every week.
Okay. See, now you and Andy are both ganging up on me. It's 18, damn it. It just feels like 35.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. But no, no, your son's a very nice young man, and with all due respect to you, I think he'll be fine in the ladies' department.
Well, I was trying to help him out. He
I definitely would have taken. I would have taken you up on that offer. Heck.
Well, you know, he just said, no, thank you. I can work my own magic.
Can you hear, let's see, so you're in the booth. Now, you have the radio booths and the TV booths around you.
Yeah, and I have officials, observers behind me.
Yep.
I have all the clock operators, the play clock and the game clock with
me. Just, you know, now that I've moved on from my 98.5 days.
Yeah, right.
You know, their booth is probably close to yours.
Two booths down.
Now, from two booths down, can you hear Mark Capello screaming in the background like you can hear on the air?
No. Sometimes, though, you can hear on the air, yes.
Yeah.
The,
no, Capello's, you can hear it a lot.
That. Yeah, I know. Has anybody ever, told him to tone it down?
You know, I never felt comfortable enough to do that in my days there for fear of losing my job. But now,
I
play with them all the time.
Is Mark's official role to be Gil Spotter?
Statistician or cheerleader? I don't know what it was.
I'm just like, wow.
I've told him to put the pom-poms down.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Anyway, I gotta answer Larry's question because I got off on the tangent there and told the story about my son and his date. But actually, it's because I was talking to him about this very question. His question to me was, you know, Dad, how come they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half? And really, Larry and Austin both, it's kind of simple. When the game gets out of hand, the mental sharpness, the edge that you have in a close game just wanes. It just dulls a little bit. I mean, it's just hard to keep your mental focus, especially, I think, this early in the year. For a playoff game, I think it'd be different. But you don't have that edge like you have when the game was really on the line and meant something. So I think that was part of it. I think the game dictated that, you were allowed to let the Bengals, move the football. You kind of go into a mode of, all right, let's just not get beat by a big play. And so defensively, the strategy becomes, let's just keep everybody in front of us. Let's not let Ocho Cinco or T.O. get behind us and make a big play. And that really was it.
And to their defense, they did accomplish that for the most part.
They did. Yeah. They did. They gave up some chunks. When you think about it, what did Palmer throw for? He threw for 345, I think. But he got 52 yards on that one heave-ho on the last play of the first half that Jordan Shipley caught, which, by the way, he caught after Ocho Cinco and T.O. had hauled butt for the locker room.
Yep, and Ocho Cinco was late coming out of that locker room, too.
So I'm just saying, there's just not the sense of urgency there. I don't think it's a lack of talent. I think the fact that remains is that your philosophy changes, that you don't want to get beat by the big play, because the big play is what can get the opposition back into the game, not only score-wise but mentally as well. If you keep a team on the field and they have to grind it out to get a score and then get the ball back and grind it out again, and so then they get a couple of scores, big deal. They look up at the clock, game's over. You still win the game, and that's the bottom line. You win the game. So I think that's it more than anything, Larry. Okay, Mike. Yes, this is the other injury that I was going to get to that didn't have a chance to get to with all everything going on here today. The Colts' Bob Sanders is out indefinitely with torn biceps tendon. Adam Schefter of ESPN initially reported that Sanders tore a bicep tendon, is out indefinitely. It's not completely clear whether Sanders is done for the season, but that certainly appears to be a possibility. So Sanders, perhaps out for the year. Grant of the Packers, perhaps out for the year. Jenkins of the Jets, definitely out for the year. So those are all week one casualties after thinking earlier today, wow, we got through week one pretty good. Well, there's three of them for you right there. Sean says this. He says, John, I'm happy about the game, but I am cautiously optimistic. If the game is won, or close, this weekend, I'll feel a lot better. Join the club. I want to see the D progressively get better and be consistent. Let's all calm down and make sure that the D is solid. The Jet game last night was a defensive battle. If the Jets somehow kick a field goal in that game, we're not so confident today. You know, I think actually, Sean, that's a good point. The Jets win that game. They win that game 12-10, even though it's ugly, but still manage to beat that Baltimore team. How different do we all really feel today? And I think Sean's right. I think we all feel a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, I still, after watching the game, and I did watch it from start to finish, I still don't feel all that confident after what I saw. I mean, that defense, I think that Baltimore offense has improved leaps in, I mean, the weapons they have.
They have good weapons.
That's not a below average to average offense that the Jets made look kind of ridiculous.
I feel better about their chances against the Jets now than I did before last night's game.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. But
that
much
I will tell you.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I predicted the Patriots to lose last week.
Yep.
I was going to predict the Patriots to lose this week. Now I'd have to say I'm on the bubble.
Now you're flipping a coin.
I'm at a flip a coin stage. Over the next 2 days, by Thursday, I'll be able to hopefully get you a somewhat educated opinion.
Yep.
But I feel better about it now than I did, say, 24 hours ago.
Definitely. Definitely.
And it really doesn't have anything to do with Jenkins being gone. It has everything to do with what I saw from the Jets on offense and thinking, well, you know what? I still think this Patriots offense can move against that Jets defense, even if they score three touchdowns.
I think they can move.
Do you
better.
Think that Jets offense is capable of scoring three times?
No.
Only if the Patriots give it to them on a silver platter.
Yep. If They give them field position. If the Patriots make mistakes and turn the ball over, and give them the ball in the
20 yard. Like Baltimore tried to do in the damn game last night. Three first-half turnovers, yeah, and the Jets, all they got was 3 points out of it.
Look at that first turnover. It could have been six. I mean, oh, like the 10-yard
line. It was horrific. I remember sitting there, I was doing work on my computer last night watching the game, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, could they make it any easier for these bums?
I agree.
And then Baltimore's defense stood up.
And the Jets offense had a lot of stupid penalties.
Yeah. The Jets had—they were horrible last night, shooting themselves in the foot with the penalties.
And to be honest, John, I mean, that, we're just talking about the Jets, but we can't forget that the Baltimore comes up here too. And after watching that game last night, I feel more confident not only against the Jets but the Ravens as well. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, that's true. That's very true. So, good point. Sean also writes, says, Mankins is a guard, period. His position does not command a high salary in Patriot land. I think he may end up sitting the whole year. Then what? Come back for a lower salary? Well, you have to realize, again, Sean, that, again, this is the NFL. He deserves to make probably, if there is ever a guy that deserved the money, he probably deserves to be one of the top four or five paid guards in the NFL. He probably deserves that. You know what? Maybe the Patriots, you know, they still control his rights, okay? If he does not appear this year, they still control his rights. They still have one unrestricted year left on his contract, depending upon, of course, what happens in the collective bargaining agreement, the new CBA. They could franchise him, you know, but I don't see them doing that right now because that'd be doing him a huge favor. Why would they do that for a guy who's basically being petulant and whined?
Yeah. I mean... He's not
fighting the proper battle.
No, and people
he's
are
not going about it the right way.
People are trying to argue either way by taking his side or ownership.
There's no defense for this.
And in my mind here, I mean, when the PFW guys discuss, well, who needs who more? I mean, you can make a case either way, I guess. I mean, depends on whose side you're on. But in my mind, nobody really wins.
No.
I mean, I don't. Obviously, John, do you honestly think? Can you sit there and tell me that this team is better with Logan Mankins not here? I don't think.
No, it's not. It's not. There's no way. This team still needs him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I will say that, you know, as I suggested in the opening hour of the program today, Kev, that, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised by the performance of the offensive line. Brady didn't get his shirt dirty. Mm. Hardly broke a sweat. Mm-hmm. He had forever and a day to throw in the pocket.
And, you know, given how many times they threw the ball, they ran the ball fairly effectively as well.
They did okay.
Yeah. It wasn't awful.
Wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible either.
Taylor had 71
yards. 71 yards. Yeah.
That's decent.
So it was a decent day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 1,000, 1,100 yard pace for the season. So he had a decent day. The offensive line performed well. So Logan just lost a little more leverage. That's why he's not fighting a battle he can possibly win here. Either on the field or in the court of public opinion, he can't win this. That's why I asked the question.
Get a little bit of more interesting news here for you, John.
Fire.
Just updated at 3:30. Mike Reese is reporting a few details of the Brady contract.
Yeah.
He is to receive a $16 million signing bonus.
Yeah, I think I knew that it was going to be a high one. Yeah.
So he broke down the structure a little bit. It's up on ESPNBoston.com for those who want to take a look.
And he deserves it if anybody does. Let's face it. He deserves it. It's always one guy or two guys that you pay the money to. He's one of the guys you pay the money to. They did that. They took care of him. End of discussion.
And the way it's structured, his deal will go up exponentially. In 2011, he slated his base is only 5.75. The same for 2012. Then it goes all the way up to 9.75.
Well, that's because he's getting all of his money up front here. Yep. I mean, he's getting it all in a bonus.
And he has roster bonuses and workout bonuses included.
Well, of course. That's pretty much standard operating procedure, though, in most contracts. Keith in Derby, UK. John, I was away from home until just before the end of the first half and was absolutely astonished to see the score. I have NFL field pass, so I listened to Gil and Gino's commentary as usual. I was hoping for a real blowout, so it was disappointing to hear the D struggle at the start of the second. In your opinion, was that down to a lack of talent or tiredness? Can a team getting a kickoff return or a pick six be a disadvantage to a defense? You know, it's interesting, Keith. Sometimes, yes, I agree that it seems as if a team scores, you know, with special teams or defense, that it can be a bit of a letdown because it's a bonus. But in this particular instance, I really don't believe, as I told, you know, it said in Sean's email earlier, this is a simple situation of guys were way up, Let's just not get beat. Let's not let these guys emotionally back into the game. And so you just keep guys in front of you. You don't let guys get behind you. That's why Cincinnati was able to take advantage of what the Patriots were giving them defensively. If you saw any of the game, you noticed it. The receivers are all cutting in front of the backs. They're all cutting in front of the linebackers. The Patriots were doing what they were told to do. Are you frustrated over the fact that they gave up, 21 second half points? Well, I can understand that a little bit. I can understand that a little bit. But the game was kind of already decided. You never felt like the game was, not in your grasp, did you? No, you didn't. It's because it was always within the Patriots' grasp. They set the tone, they set the tempo early, and they went and got it done. So the 21 second half points that Cincinnati scored is just, cannon fodder, really. All right, so did I get to all of them? All right, I got to all of them that you sent me, I think. Let me double check here. Make sure that I got everything in that I needed to get in. Yep.
Burn and turn.
We're still printing here. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. That's good. Let's take a quick break then. Let's sneak in another timeout. See if we can get some more emails printed up. Some other news. I'm going to share with you a couple of my own nitpicks from Sunday's game. After all, it is Nitpick Tuesday. We're live on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. That's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery at masslottery.com.
All right, welcome back inside the playbook. John Rook here with you for another 15 minutes on Patriots playbook, on Patriots.com radio on this Tuesday. Pats 1-0. That does sound good. Pats 1-0 with a 38-24 win over Cincinnati on Sunday. We've got the computer back up and working. The email is pumping, so webradio@patriots.com. If you've got a quick comment, thank you, Kevin. Thanks to our IT staff who literally worked around us, underneath us, as we were putting the shows on today. Wow. That was kind of interesting, to say the least. Nevertheless, we're here. Stripper sends a note and says, you forgot Leonard Weaver. I hadn't heard about Weaver, torn an ACL. So he's gone too? Geez, that's four. It keeps getting worse as the show progresses here. I did not see that. Thank you, Strippers, for sending that. By the way, he also sent another note that a couple of others have also subsequently sent me notes on. Adalis Thomas, the former Patriot linebacker, apparently visited the Jets today.
Doesn't that thicken the plot?
Yes, it does. Jason LaCanfora from NFL Network tweeted that it's doubtful the club will sign him. But he did visit the Jets today. Of course, Thomas played for Rex Ryan in Baltimore before he signed with the Patriots.
And played very well for Rex Ryan.
Yes, he did. Well, the Patriots thought they were getting that Adalis Thomas when they signed him. And, of course, after 3 years here, he didn't really pan out the way that the Patriots or their fans thought that he would.
To say the least, yeah.
And that's why he's still looking for a job in football.
One game, I think, if I can recall here, in the AFC Championship against San Diego,
yeah,
2007, where he showed up. But other than that, I'm really racking my brain to find a time where he made a kind of a valuable contribution.
I've got none. John, I'm thrilled with the Pats win. I'm thrilled with the Jets' loss and the loss of Jenkins. Not to sound like a jerk, but Rex Ryan has me so full of hate for the Jets that anything that causes them grief puts a big old smile on my face.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
That being said, my nitpicks for the game are as follows. Brady's missed passes to Faulk going to the outside shoulder. Brady's blistering five-yard pass to Welker that was too much for him to catch. The defense looked good but showed their youth when they had a commanding lead by lightening up. Absolutely cannot do that against the Jets or any other team that poses a real threat.
Everyone sucks but me.
Thank you, Fred. Aside from that, I was impressed. The D played better than I thought they would. Let's hope they stay reeled in and stay focused. We won, Jets lost, but it's week one. Let's calm down, everyone. Long way to go. Okay, John.
Yeah, that ball to Faulk, that killed me. It was a great play fake. It was third down.
That was
had him wide open. And he was not only
and he missed. Yeah,
he was going for six. Yeah. That wasn't just a first down. That was 6 points.
That was my number two nitpick. I had two that I really wanted to argue with. That was number two. My number one nitpick, believe it or not, was Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah, that was. How about that? Although one of those was 54 yards, I believe.
Wasn't the other one 50 also? Or was it 46?
Close. I'll look it up for you.
I thought it was 50-51. At any rate, and I think largely I'm being a little unfair. I mean, Gostkowski has been so good in his time here that he's made most everybody, I think, forget about Anna Vinatieri. He's done better than anybody really had a reasonable right to expect, and here I am nitpicking on him for missing two field goals and only going 1 for 3. But if you realize he connected in all those, you're talking about putting 44 up on the Bengals on Sunday. So if I have to nitpick, I'd say, yeah, well, you know what? I'd have to blame it on Gostkowski. But then again, let's also remember that he's got a new long snapper and a new holder this year. Zoltán Mezco is his new holder. So he's having to work with a new staff. He's having to work with a new team. Is it unfair of me to nitpick on Steven Gostkowski? Probably. But I did it anyway. Adam in Orlando says, John, my only nitpick with the game was the couple of drop passes, namely Faulk's in the red zone early in the game, like we just talked about, and a long pass to Moss. Yeah, that's also true. Can't complain otherwise. I'm glad to see the play calling on offense has gotten more diverse. I jumped out of my chair on the pass for Welker's first touchdown. Gronk and Crumpler blocking was a great show of force. Now, that's a good point. You don't want to see those two guys coming at you, you know, if you're a defender trying to make a tackle on a guy like Welker, who is already tough to bring down because he runs so low to the ground.
That first field goal, too, is only 47.
47?
Yeah, which, I mean, it's on the longer side, but still, that's one you expect him to make.
Well, okay, so you just gave me a little bit of credibility for my nitpick.
No, I agree. The 54-yarder was one of those kind of winging of prayers. It was the second-to-last play of the half. There was 1 second left on the clock. I understood why they tried it, and to be fair to Steve, he had the leg.
Oh, he had plenty of leg. It was wide. And again, I sort of, you know, gave him some room for improvement here because I'm mentioning again he's working with an entirely new special teams.
Yeah. Ingram, the long snapper.
Ingram, the long snapper. And the Zoltan man.
You don't mess with the Zoltan.
Nope, don't mess with Zoltan.
By the way, I don't know, how many punts did he have the other day?
Just one.
Just one.
43 yards.
And it really wasn't
a great kick.
No, that kick was
terrible.
Was
not a great kick, but he ended up getting about 15 yards on a bounce.
And it was so short that, and by any means, like for the fans that might not have seen the kick, it wasn't one of these situations where he had to pooch it.
That's right.
I mean, it was like, you can let a rip here, and he didn't even reach the return man. It was to be honest, John, it was too crummy a kick to return.
Correct.
It was one of those you don't want to get close to it and have it hit you on the short hop and then be a live ball.
Right.
So he backs off, and lucky enough for the Patriots, they get the roll. But, I mean, it was kind of a duck out there, to be honest.
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania, sent this note from Mike Florio. He said, the Jets had originally considered signing Adalis Thomas after Calvin Pace went down with his injury, but then they opted to wait. Given that any vested veteran who's on a team's roster when the season begins will be entitled to receive his full salary if he's cut later. After week one, the rule changes. The Jets apparently are still interested in Thomas. And he did visit the team yesterday. So, Jets can sign after the Monday night game, Jets can sign Thomas and any other vested veteran without guaranteeing his salary for the balance of the year. So it means they can bring him in. If it doesn't work out, they don't owe him anything.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
That, to me, is a no-brainer.
No risk, all reward type situation.
They probably should bring him in.
Well,
That would just add fuel to the fire for Sunday.
I think somebody will bring him in if the Jets don't.
I would think so.
And I think we had this discussion, too, earlier, maybe last week, about, you know, Adalis Thomas, you look at the kind of athlete he was and the kind of player he was with the Ravens. After coming out of the Patriots organization and leaving the way he did, it certainly says something that nobody's picked him up.
Right. I agree. Johnny in Peachtree City, Georgia. John, welcome back. Good to hear your comments and observations again. I have to say that I'm really pleased with what I see in the Pat special teams squad this year. Tate's explosiveness is for real. We didn't even mention that, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't even got to that.
And I haven't been this excited about a return specialist since Bethel Johnson.
Temple Bethel Johnson.
They were number one with a kickoff return average, 46 yards and 4 returns for 184. You have to like what Bill O'Brien has done with the squad this year. We have a decent punter in Mesko, even though he's at the bottom of the rankings, one punt, 43 yards. Hey, it's 1 week, Johnny. Give him a break.
What?
All in all, I'm still holding my breath on the defense, but looking forward to an exciting year and hope they can go deep into the playoffs. He says, I think you're being overly pessimistic about the Pats going 2-2 before the bye week. I think it's just as likely they go 4-0.
Disagree.
Well, Johnny, I'll tell you. Let's just go with this, all right? If they beat the Jets this Sunday to go 2-0,
they're in great shape.
Then I'd say they got a shot at 4-0. They have a shot.
Well, obviously,
mathematically and otherwise. But I still don't like at Dolphins.
No, that's never a game that I think this organization looks forward to.
It's never been a game that's been comfortable. It doesn't matter how good the Patriots are. It just has never been a game and it probably never will be comfortable.
And even the games that they've won down there have been such a struggle.
Yeah.
Such a dog.
For the most part.
And having to go down there, you know, we discuss having to go down there this early in the year where it's still pretty hot and muggy, it's not going to help the squad too much.
Jason sends this from Fort Wainwright, Alaska. And he says, it looks like Rex Ryan is up to his old tricks again, running his mouth as usual. He's quoted in the New York Times as saying that Revis is the only guy in the league that can cover Randy Moss. I would be surprised to see Moss put up a big game this weekend. Well, Moss also talked about Revis in his postgame comments on Sunday. Said, I'm kind of gearing up and looking forward to it. Well, that's just, can't wait to see that battle, huh?
Yeah, he called Moss a slouch.
Yeah.
And Randy on his ESPN bit today just said he looked forward to seeing him on Sunday.
Randy said exactly what Randy should have said.
Yeah.
Which is also a little bit of.
And we'll see if that. We'll see. I'm really interested to see how Randy kind of. This is one of those games where if you can't get up for this game, you shouldn't play. And we'll see how Randy answers the bell in this game on Sunday.
Andrew in the Ukraine. In the aftermath of week one, is there any team on the schedule that you could feel sure picking over the Patriots? At San Diego with their special teams issues, Indy with their injuries, O-line, wide receiver issues coming to Foxborough in the cold weather, Baltimore, the Patriots at home coming off a bye week, Green Bay without their number one running back and suspect secondary, Minnesota and Foxborough against Favre, who looks to be back in his to his old tricks, at Pittsburgh with their continuing O-line problems and lacking their leading receiver from the past few years. Patriots obviously have old issues, or outside linebacker issues, I think he said. Yeah, oh yeah, OLB. Outside linebacker issues, but their strengths seem to be enough for them to take advantage of the weaknesses of the teams they face. It's an interesting take.
And it's tough when you're breaking down the schedule with a team like the Patriots have this year. It's tough to finger a certain game and be like, okay, they're going to lose that football game. What I think most of us try to do when asked for a prediction is we kind of break it up into groups of four, groups of five maybe, and go, okay, you know, they can win two out of those five, or they can win three out of those five, and kind of break it down that way. It's kind of tough to just say, okay, you know, Indianapolis, boom, are we going to beat them? It's hard.
Oh, it scared me for a second. Okay, it's back. Whew.
I see you over there.
It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still here. Okay, Brian. Where's Brian writing from? New Mexico. Randy Moss is amongst my all-time favorite Patriots. He stretches the defense like no man in the history of the game, and him and Wes work in perfect harmony. He carried the team during the year without Brady and showed amazing leadership skills that year. There seems to be a perception that he isn't the same Randy, but he led the league in touchdowns. Last year during the Colts-Pats game, Sunday Night Crew clocked him running 40 yards in 3.9 seconds. Did they really? I don't think I even saw them.
I don't remember that.
In addition to his usual explosiveness, he's added a slew of underneath routes to become more of a factor when deep routes aren't an option. Sunday's game was a good example. Randy was there on curls and drags whenever the pressure came close to Brady. I ordered a Randy Moss jersey the day he signed, and I have thoroughly worn it out. Long story short, Randy Moss is the guy I'm most excited to see every Sunday, and I wish the Patriots would pay the man. I'm not sure why money is an object. Randy is well on his way towards shattering every record ever written, and those chases will bring him big-time publicity to the organization. He led the league in touchdowns. There's no excuse not to keep paying him at his current rate, and since Brady is around for the 4 years, I say keep the group together for at least three more. I love me some Randy Moss. That's why I asked.
I can't disagree with a lot of what he said there.
I can't either. Frankly, I think it makes sense. You got Brady for three more after this year. You probably should bring Moss in for another three-year deal.
I think, John, I'm curious to get your take on this. When I look at Randy's beef, so to speak, with this organization, I can see a lot of the points and understand a lot of the points that he brings up, and I understand what he's going through, and I understand why he might feel a little bit hurt or disrespected. But at the same time, I feel the way he goes about trying to communicate this to the organization, to his teammates, to the media, is a little bit skewed. I don't think it's exactly the right way to attack this issue. How do you feel about that? Did you agree with him coming out Sunday?
No.
Okay.
No, I thought it was, I really thought that it was being selfish. But, you know, now that we've had a couple of, another day or two to kind of see it, I really believe strongly with what, Paul was saying earlier on PFW today. I think this was all made.
Yeah.
I think this was all set up.
Could have been scripted.
I think he scripted it and said, I need to say something because I need to get some attention paid, to my one sponsorship deal. I'm going on SportsCenter coming up later this week. I need to get some attention to Capital One, and so I'm going to make some news.
Yeah.
And here's how I feel like I can make some news, because it's always a hot-button topic with the media and with the fans in New England. Contract. And I don't have a new contract. I'm playing on my old one, which he personally may be happy with, because he knows if he plays well this year, chances are either the Patriots are going to pay the money or somebody else is going to pay
the money.
He's going to get the money.
I think you and I can agree one way or the
other. He's going to get the money.
He's going to get it.
And he deserves it. Question is he going to get 3 years?
I don't know.
That I think has to be the one sticking point right now.
If you had asked me right now and you held a gun to my head and forced me to answer that question, I would say yes.
Well, if he would go for 3 years and 27 right now, basically at his current rate,
my check would be real.
I'd write him the check.
Yep, I agree.
Let's just go.
That'll make him 36.
You keep him and Brady together, and I just think that would be the way to go.
Yeah.
You want to make everybody happy? That's got to make you happy. Got to make you happy.
I agree.
Let me sneak in a couple more real quick. Steve in Toronto says, first time emailer for your show, but I do listen to PFW and then you, so I love both shows. Good for you. Thank you, Steve. I do not usually disagree with you, but you are so wrong on this, I am flabbergasted. You sat there and said Logan Mankins is wrong to conduct himself, that he is a man of his word, and he believes that others should do so. You inferred online that he is out of touch and that is not how business is done. So Fred, though I love him in a non-sexual manly way, said much the same, and that's okay to back out of a promise. That the economic conditions have changed, it's okay to renege. And Mankins is wrong to be insulted. I listened to Mr. Kraft's interview very carefully on the website. He was very careful with his words. He said they had no deal with Mankins, referring to the ESPN report. I believe I said that as well. And that Mankins apologized to him personally for personally casting aspersions on him. Then he suggested to Mankins that he go public with that, and the ownership was not involved in negotiations. There was no mention of who did promise what to Mankins last year. Or does anyone think he's lying and not owed for the service? There's also no denial of the underlings demanding a public apology. From Mankins' view, he came to them looking to make a deal. They asked for an apology. He gave one. He then expected to move forward. Instead, he may have been told that it's not good enough. Now you have to stand in front of the whole class and apologize. Then if you're good, we can go to the office and talk. All this because someone made Mankins a promise and backed out of it. Okay, whoa, hang on. Hang on, Steve. We don't know if there was a promise made.
Yeah.
You're assuming a promise was made. Mr. Kraft said there was no deal. If you yourself, Steve, listened to the interview, then you heard him say there was no deal. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. You know what happens.
And my point here is that based on what we know, that there was no deal, that Mr. Kraft and Logan did have a talk, Mr. Kraft suggested that maybe, you know, going public would be the way to go here, and then Logan balked at doing that, all I'm saying is Logan, get over yourself.
Yeah.
People do this all the time. Okay?
Yeah.
If it makes the man who signs your paycheck happy, you do it. Now, Steve, unless you're wealthy, unless you're self-employed and you have nobody to answer to but you, you're going to do something, I think, in some form or fashion to make your boss happy that you might not really be happy to do.
Yeah.
But you're going to do it. Why? Because your boss pays you.
Yeah.
This is all I'm saying to Logan. If it makes your boss happy, just do it. You're going to get paid millions of dollars for it. It's pretty simple. I'm not asking anybody to go back on their integrity. I'm not asking anybody to go back on their word. All I'm asking you to do is just swallow hard and do what the man asked. We all do it every day. I do things that I don't want to do, but I do it every day. Why? Because I see the bigger picture.
Yeah. And it's your job.
And it's my job.
But I mean, it wasn't even like Mr. Kraft was saying to Mankins, hey, you have to come out and call yourself a liar or anything like that. All he was asking for was an apology.
Right.
That's all.
All right, let me sneak one more in here before we say goodbye. Our friend Howard in Connecticut. John, let me just have my first nitpick with you. Last week I said it was the Bungles, and the Bungles would always be the Bungles as long as Marvin Lewis coached them. Your comment was that was harsh. Patriots absolutely outplayed and outcoached the Bengals from the head coach to the water boy and everywhere in between on Sunday. I don't know what Marvin Lewis's coaching pedigree is, but he's not a good head coach. Well, I really don't have any issue with that, Howard. I think you're obviously right there. I think Marvin Lewis has been a good coach. You know, he's basically revived a moribund franchise, even though they played like crap on Sunday. As for nitpicking the team, he says, number one, third down defense could still use improvement. I think that'll be a nitpick all year long, by the way. Number two, they had to punt once. Well, that's really...
And the punt wasn't any good.
That's really getting nitpicky, Howard. Thank you. Number three, Butler needs to work on his man-to-man coverage. He got toasted by Ocho on that one touchdown pass. That is true.
True.
But I still gave the man a B, and I thought I was being generous.
You
for
threw
a B.
him a bone.
I threw him a bone. Can't ever say I don't do that. I'm not haterating
no.
on him.
No, you're not.
Like I have been on Maroney.
Not like your son did to you.
No, yeah, he totally dissed me. Number four, Kevin Faulk needs to work on catching the ball out of the backfield. No. Well, on one of them, yes. On the other one, that was Brady's fault.
I think if
one of them, yeah. one of them, Kevin could have, he got twisted around. But
if the emailer honestly thinks that Kevin Faulk has trouble catching the ball, I think he needs to watch some tape.
I think Howard has kind of got tongue-in-cheek on this, to be honest with you. And he said number five, missed field goals.
Yeah,
agreed. That was my number one.
Yeah. I mean, other than Tate's returns, the special teams in terms of the field goal kicking and the punting,
right?
I don't think either one of us are too thrilled about how that went.
No. He says, that's about it. Was a great game and was great to be there to experience it. Here's to the Pats having another great game and a victory next week. It was game one in a marathon of games that is the NFL season. Take it and move on to next week. And that is as good as any to end with.
Nice little aside there.
Absolutely. Howard, thanks for the email.
Thanks, Howard.
Folks, that's going to wrap up Patriots Playbook for Tuesday. Thank you for your patronage today. Thank you for sticking it out through thick and thin, and mostly thick today, as we had obvious technical issues throughout the course of the afternoon, and particularly in this program. But thanks to Kevin, especially for his bulldogged attitude to not only get it on the air, but to also make chicken salad out of chicken feathers today, and our IT staff for all, you know, getting us back up and running with email and the internet today. And by the way, thank you for continuing to contribute to the show, even though we weren't really able to get to. Yeah, we had a ton of emails today.
And what is that? That's a great credit to you, John.
Oh, don't do this now. Don't start.
I want visits to the booth too.
Well, you can come to visit the booth anytime. I'm just a lunch pail slug around here. Tomorrow, on Wednesday. For my mother's basement.
Yeah, we're going to do it right tomorrow.
We're going to get after it tomorrow? Okay, all right. It's actually my basement, but okay, for Fred, it's my mother's basement.
Still counts.
Yeah, it still counts. We'll get into members of the Jets media tomorrow. Eric Scalavino from PFW will join us in the program as well. We'll also, I think we have conference calls tomorrow? Yeah, conference calls tomorrow.
I'm on a conference call. Did I pick up future cell phones?
That's what we're going to be hearing tomorrow.
That's what we'll be
John yelling at his mom to get off the landline.
That's right. Mom!
Where's the meatloaf?
Get off the phone! We appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, manana.